Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 12. In verse 16, the Word of God says that Jesus spoke a parable saying, "The land of a certain rich man was fertile and yielded plentifully." So this rich man was a farmer. He had good land and he got lots of crops. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no more room to store my crops?" That's not a bad problem, you would say. I have so much, I don't know where to put it. And of course, crops represented wealth. And so this guy is saying, "I have so much money, I don't know where to put it." And people would say, "I wish I was like that." And then it continues. So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger barns, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. I have a barn, it's not big enough, I'll make myself a bigger barn. And it'll fit everything that I have. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be happy.' But God said to him, 'Fool.'" Uh-oh. It's never a good thing when God calls you a fool. "This night, your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This was a guy who worked very hard. Because if he didn't work hard, any farmer will tell you, if he didn't work hard, he wouldn't have the crops. Farming is not an easy proposition. And so this guy worked very hard all his life, made all this wealth, and now he said, "Okay, now I can just kick back, take it easy, relax, don't worry about it, I'm set." And God says, "Nope, you're a fool, because tonight you die." And this is a problem. Where was the problem? The problem was not in the fact that he had riches. The problem was that he was not rich toward God. If he had riches and he was rich toward God, no problem. But this guy was rich and he had no wealth toward God. You know why? It's in Matthew 6:31. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Young people, listen to this. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know what that means? God comes first. Whatever you do, God comes first. And then it doesn't just leave it there. Then it gives you a promise. It says, "If you seek first the kingdom of God, then all of these things are going to be added unto you," in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, you may have dreams, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with having dreams. You may have desires, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with having desires. You may have plans for your life, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with having plans. But with whatever you do, it's God first. In everything, God first. There's tremendous benefit to having God first. We think we can do things on our own. And sometimes because people have skill or talent, or something like that, ability of some sort, they can influence things in their favor. But this man here that we were reading about, he managed to get great wealth. But then it was all lost. He got great wealth, but because God was not first, all his great wealth was for nothing. He wouldn't even be able to enjoy it. When you put God first, God allows you to enjoy that which you do, that which you work for. But you always put God first. In Psalm 37:4, the Word of God says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Put God first, and He gives you the desires of your heart. You guys understand that? God first, and then He gives you the desires of your heart. You don't give you the desires of your heart. God gives you the desires of your heart. So put God first, and those desires become your reality. It's always God first. The Word of God says in Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord. In other words, you have ideas, you have plans, but say to God, God, I want your will in my life above all else. When I first became saved, that was my prayer, and God was very faithful in that. Keep me in your perfect will. I pray that every day. Keep me in your perfect will. No matter what, even if I don't like it, keep me in your perfect will. The result of that is that God brings to pass the things you desire. He's the one who brings it to pass. You're not the one who's able to bring it to pass. You have no ability to control situations or people. Maybe to some very, very small degree you can have some influence. But really, to control what's really going on, we have no ability. We can't touch tomorrow. And so God, who is able to touch tomorrow, who is able to touch all of the future, all of the past, and all of the present all at once, God brings things to pass. It says, trust in Him. He brings it to pass. So you commit your way to Him because you trust Him. And when you do that, He brings anything that's necessary for you, for your benefit, anything that's necessary to fulfill your desires when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, anything when God is first, He brings it to pass. It says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, do not forget my word, but let your heart keep my commands. Again, God first. What did God say? God first. That's it right there. God first. But there's a result to this. Let me ask you a question. How many people want to die at 20? Roseanne, I want to be young and die. That's kind of a weird question, isn't it? Well, you know what happens sometimes. The point of that is this. I'm not saying that when somebody dies young that there's something wrong with them. Sometimes it's just God's perfect will, but that's the exception, not the rule. That's unusual. That's very different than what is desired by God for most people. But God gives this amazing promise. He says, God first, and the length of your days, and a long life, and peace, it will be unto you. So God first, God's word, God's command, God first, and that will become a long life and peace in your long life to you. It's amazing how when people put themselves or something else before God, how quickly and completely that eliminates peace in their life. You want anxiety, frustration? You want fear and negativity? Don't put God first. That is about the fastest way to mess up your thinking, to mess up your emotions, to mess up your experience. If you have God first, He promises you. Number one, He gives a long life. And number two, He makes sure you have peace for that long life. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever had that experience or not, but if you haven't, probably somewhere along the line you will. Peace is going to abandon you because you're going to become nervous about something. The beautiful thing is when you have God first, even if situations don't look good, you can have complete confidence because God's going to come through for you. So, God first. Then the Word of God says, in Proverbs 3:3, let mercy and truth not forsake you. don't forsake mercy and don't forsake truth. What is truth? Let me give you God's definition of truth. That's the way that you want to be with your parents. That's the way you want to be with other people when you tell the truth. But truth in the Bible is not what we think of truth. What you're saying agrees with the facts. In other words, fact is, this is what happened, and I say, this is what happened. And we call that telling the truth. God calls that a fact. Truth, he says, is his word. And so, when the word of God talks about truth, it's talking about the word of God itself. In John 17:17, Jesus says, my words are truth. So, mercy, and the expression of mercy is patience, mercy and truth. Those are the two things you really want in your life, mercy and truth. In other words, you don't get angry, you don't accept anger, you don't think God's going to be angry with you. You don't anticipate anything negative from God, and you don't reflect anything negative to people. Mercy and truth. Mercy and the Word of God. Don't let them forsake you. And then it continues, bind them around your neck. When the Bible speaks of the neck, it's speaking of choices. The volition, the ability to make choices. Let your choices, let your volition be controlled with mercy and truth. Let mercy and truth decide for you, is what it really means. Let mercy and truth decide for you. Write them down on the tablet of your heart, and that's speaking about the frame of reference, the way that you think. Let mercy and the Word of God be the way that you think. And then there's another promise. It says, God first, and you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. There are some Christians who are phenomenally successful. And they do their job, and they do an honest job, but they have mercy and truth because they're putting God first in their employment, and God just builds whatever it is that they're doing. If they're doctors, they're like phenomenal doctors. If they're businessmen, they're incredibly successful businessmen. If they're lawyers, they're fantastic lawyers. If they're teachers, they're brilliant teachers. He does that because they put God first. Mercy and truth, well, those are things from God. So God first, and then you have great success in the eyes of God and great success with men. Why? God first. How many people want to be, oh, I don't know, street sweepers? I want to sweep the street. I want to be the guy who picks up the trash. I want to work at the ballpark, and I want to pick up the trash when everybody goes home, and I want to clean up the spilled soda. Nobody's raising their hand. Doesn't that seem exciting to you? How many people want to be something like a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or an astronaut or whatever, something that would be amazing? How many of you want to be that in your life? Show of hands. I want to be something that I'm going to really enjoy in my life. If you don't, you're weird. Of course you do. Of course you do. How do you get there? God first. That's how you get there. God first. You may not see the path to it, but you get there because God provides you with that path. He's the one that gets you there. So God first. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord in all your ways. And don't lean on your own understanding. In other words, don't think you can figure things out apart from God. Trust Him in everything. God first, and what then? Well, then He directs your path. Then He gives you the wisdom that you need. Then He helps you make your decisions. Then He shows you what's really going on, because you put God first. Proverbs 3:7 continues, says, do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't think you know anything. Sometimes people think they're all that in a bag of chips. They think they know all this stuff. You know what happens? Young people, listen to this part. You're going to need to know it. This happened to a lot of my students. They learned a little bit. Now, there was a whole lot more that they didn't learn. But they learned a little bit. And because they knew a little bit, they thought they knew everything. In truth, they only knew a little bit. It's like saying, I have a nickel, and I have all the money in the world. And you get them like, what? What do you mean you have all the money in the world? You have a nickel. But that's what it's like. They learned a little bit, and then they thought they knew everything. They didn't actually know much of anything. They were just beginning. Don't ever get to that point where you think you know something. Always depend on God to show you what things are all about. Even if it's something that has nothing seemingly to do with God. Like, you're in school and you're learning math. Well, learn your math, learn the stuff the teachers teach you, but let God help you in the learning. Because He is very faithful to do that, and then you're going to actually understand something as it really is. When you put God first in your thinking like that, number one, you depart from evil. In other words, Satan has much less ability to attack you than he would otherwise. And number two, it says, your body will become healthy. And your bones will become strong. A lot of people are sick. Not everybody who's sick is sick because of this. But there are people who are sick because they don't think well. They don't put God first in their thinking. And it makes them sick. And if you know anything about biology and the mind and physiology, which is the processes in your body, you'll very easily recognize how all of that works together, how thinking will influence physical health. It influences it tremendously. God first, and God says, this is the way to good health and how to be a strong person. The Word of God says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with all your possessions. And guys, I'll tell you right now, kids don't have so much problem with this, but adults have problems with this. I don't know why, they just do. Honor the Lord with all your possessions. In other words, if God gives you something, honor Him with it. He says, and with the first fruits of all your increase. In other words, the first portion of what you make, honor Him with it. How do you honor Him with it? The Bible says you give it to Him. It's that simple. If, for example, you make money, you give Him the first portion. It's that simple. And that's the key to wealth. So it says there, your barns will be filled with plenty. In Malachi chapter 3, when you put God first with your money, God opens the windows of heaven and He pours out the blessings. If you are in a position later on in life, I don't think you guys are so much right now, but later in life, where you're making some money, put God first with your money. Don't put your electric bill first. Your mortgage first, your vacation first, whatever it is first. Put God first with your money. And God says if you take care of His house, He'll take care of your house. It's that simple. So God first with your money, and you get plenty of money. It's amazing how that works. It doesn't mean you'll be a multimillionaire, but you might be. Let me tell you a true story about that. And I'm not harping on money. God knows we don't have a lot of money and we're not looking for it either. But there was a guy who was named J.C. Penney. You guys ever hear of him? Started a big department store. He was a Christian guy. And he had a small business, and his small business was working pretty well. Because he was doing his business according to how God said to do it. And then one day he said, you know, God, it seems to me that I only need about 10% of what I have, and you need about 90% and not the other way around. Because there's all kinds of need out there, especially in places like the mission field and outreach and things that a lot of churches are very good about giving to. And so he said, I'm going to start giving you 90% and I'm going to keep 10. Which seems like crazy. You know, he's giving away everything he has. You know what happened? His business became JCPenney's. One of the biggest department stores in America. The guy became incredibly rich. Why? God first. Now, I'm not saying that you'll necessarily become incredibly rich. What I'm saying is when you put God first, He honors you. You give to Him and He'll tell you that you cannot outgive Him. And that's true with your money, with your time, with everything that you possess. You honor God and God will magnify the things you possess. It's simple wisdom. Wisdom is when you apply the Word of God. And the Word of God says in Proverbs 3:13 that the person who applies the Word of God becomes a happy person. How many people want to be happy? Show hands. I want to be happy. How many people want to be miserable? I want to be so miserable, I'm depressed all my life. Well, there's a way to do that. Apply wisdom. Apply the Word of God. In other words, God first in the way that you think and all that you do, and you'll be happy. It's that simple. The key to happiness, guys, is putting God first. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.